This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas. Yeah, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in too. Well, you'll be glad to hear, despite it being sunny outside, feck it, stay inside. Close those curtains, because it's another decent week of quality content, which is dropping all over the gaff. I think we'll go with cinema first this week. So, shall we begin?
Are you familiar with the concept of evolution? In their time, humans were capable of many great things.
Noah!
They could fly like eagles fly. They could speak across oceans. But now, it is our time. And it is my kingdom.
Apes, together, strong.
Who doesn't love it? Who doesn't love it? Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes opens this weekend in cinemas nationwide. And this new movie in the new trilogy is directed by the Maze Runner's Wes Ball. This one is set several generations in the future following Caesar's reign, in which the apes here are the dominant species living harmoniously, as humans have been reduced to basically wearing feck all and living in the shadows. I'm not going to lie, I absolutely adored the recent trilogy series. Andy Serkis and Caesar were just, to me, an astonishing achievement. And how, well, I kind of understand why he didn't get nominated for an Oscar, but he should have been. And this movie had a lot to live up to. And the good news, folks, the good news is that this one delivers by the bucket load. It's a tricksy setup, a new trilogy, new characters, new storylines, and feck all human characters. And well, Wes Ball just handles it so brilliantly. First things first, again, the special effects are off the chart. I mean, at no time did I think those apes aren't real. It's just mad stuff, Ted. Like, it's a slow build of a setup. You know, we need to get to know these new characters, care for them before diving headfirst into the action. The humanity of these apes is what's, again, it's amazing. I'm just sitting there going, yeah, they're real. They're absolutely real, chatting away. This also feels like it's the first movie of the recent films where the setup is nearest to the late 60s, early 70s original movies, where the apes are truly the dominant species on the planet. It's a beautifully shot and rendered world. I loved it. I adored it. If you're a fan of these movies, bail in. You will not be disappointed. And it all lines up nicely for the next two movies in the trilogy. Whether Wes Ball will be back is another question for another time, because as we may have mentioned before in Three Things, he has signed up to do the live action movie of Zelda and may be a wee bit busy. So that's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is now in cinemas. And yes, see it on the biggest screen possible. And no, there are no mid or post credit scenes. All I'm saying is you will care for these CGI apes more than you've probably cared for half the characters and half the movies that have been released so far this year. It's so well done. And I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to shut up because I'm slightly obsessed with how good this movie and franchise is.
No, it really is nice to be in Belfast.
Billy Conway.
You're a bigger fella than I thought.
Oh, I'm very big in Glasgow.
Lady said that she was at the show last night. She looks vulgar.
What's wrong with Willie's all of a sudden? When he went for a pee, he took his Willie out with a hanky.
Nasty bad Willie!
You're going to Belfast. Yeah. Could be blown up tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm frightened to think about it, really.
From apes to big banana feet, this is a rediscovered and newly restored documentary from 1976 and is an hilarious record of Scottish comedian Billy Connolly's tour of Ireland in 1975, a time when he was on the cusp of stardom at home and internationally. Capturing Connolly as he charms the audience in Dublin and at his famous engagement at the ABC Cinema in Belfast during the Troubles, this is It's Billy Connolly, so it's obviously going to be funny, but it's quite a bizarre, poignant experience. Whether it's him struggling to deal with the reporters and press in Dublin, who seems determined to freak him out over his visit to Belfast. We'll come back to the Dublin journalists. They are a different beast. Or his wonderful, edgy set in Belfast alongside the multiple cups of tea he has backstage. What was fascinating for me was seeing someone attempting to cope with their growing and the intruding fame that was coming towards them. It's a very subtle backstory to the documentary, and you can see his moments of discomfort and strain which are etched across his face in some of those low-key moments. One particular scene which was interesting was where he asks, can the Dublin press not wait to interview him till after the show rather than before it, so they actually know what they're interviewing him about. Cuts straight to him being crowded around by those reporters and him saying, oh, I wish we could have done these interviews after the show. It's just like, oh, they are legion. And I mean, they are Niall Stokes, clean your nails, that's all I'd say. And yeah, the Dublin press come across as complete idiots, but it's just an interesting, fascinating time. And yes, despite these heartbreaking and poignant moments that are spread across the documentary, you will leave the cinema as if you've left the time machine with a big darn smile on your face and an appreciation of the Big Yin and all he became in his later years. Not just a concert movie, this is a behind-the-scenes documentary that kind of looks at someone at the beginning of their path to becoming world-famously funny, and I loved it. It made me chuckle quite a bit, it made me quite sad and poignant in parts, and yeah, 1975 Ireland, North and South. Ooh, interesting. As I said, get that time machine ready because you're just gonna go down the rabbit hole. So that is Big Banana Feet, which is now on limited release in cinemas. And there you go, two pretty decent and well worthy a watch movies. Well worthy a watch? What is he saying? This week. And now let's move on to streaming.
A man of science. He is married to the woman of his dreams. And they have a good life.
Have a good day.
Coffee to go.
Oh my gosh, you're my hero.
Until one night, he doesn't make it home. When he regains consciousness, everything has changed.
First up this week, and oh yeah, you know me, I love my high concept, highbrow sci-fi, and god damn it, Apple TV are back with Dark Matter in this new mind-bending series created by Blake Crouch, based on his 2016 novel of the same name. Yes, Blake himself is all over this, wrote this, produced it, blah, 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 blah. The story follows Jason Dessen, a physics professor in Chicago whose life is turned upside down when he is abducted and transported to a parallel universe. Oh, sweet lord. As he navigates this unfamiliar world, he becomes desperate to find his way back to his real family and the life he once knew to protect them from a deadly new foe, which I will not reveal, and you should not watch the trailers. Don't worry, it's all revealed straight away in episode one and you'll probably know it. But you know what? Sometimes it's good to just engage. With an absolutely cracking cast that includes Joel Edgerton, Jennifer Connelly, Alice Braga and Jimmy Simpson. Again, I applaud Apple and their continuing, their ongoing commitment to highbrow sci-fi content. Here's the thing. So the big reveal here is done by the end of the first episode, even in the middle of the first episode, so there's nothing really to hide, but I'm still not going to say it. And I love that, because there's no messing. They're just straight in, let's do it, this is what's happening. Whereas anyone out there keeping up with Colin Farrell's Sugar, you know, it's taken 6 episodes for us to be like, what the actual hell is now happening? So I applaud Mr. Crouch and his Dark Matter for just saying, here's the setup, let's see where we go from here. The first 2 episodes of 8 are up there. So that is Dark Matter, which is now on Apple TV Plus. Love it so much. And yes, who doesn't love a parallel universe story? I love a parallel universe story. Oh, Other Dave is having all the crack right now, I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah?
Hi there, are you Bridget Pierce?
You're the podcasters?
Yes, yes we are.
I'm a journalist. I'm still consulting on a true crime podcast in the arse end of nowhere.
I've always thought that Ireland was the most beautiful country in the world.
All I see is shit. Fields and fields of shit.
21 years ago, three people disappeared.
On the Irish night of the dead.
Samhain.
So cool.
Bodkin on Netflix is a new darkly comedic thriller from the Obama's production company Higher Ground and the Mayor of Easttown producers Whip. This one follows a group of podcasters as they investigate a series of disappearances in a small Irish town, a case that grows weirder and weirder the more they investigate. Everyone seems dead on and oh so stereotypically Irish as it jumps from Derby O'Gill to The Wicker Man to Midsommar vibes. And you know what? Sure, isn't it only a bit of crack? With a pretty decent cast starring Will Forte, Siobhan Cullen and Robin Cara, all 7 episodes stream from today. This one will be, I'm pretty certain, a big hit here in Ireland, definitely. I'm sure a lot of people will be getting their binge mode on for this one, so yeah. Looking forward to it. That is Bodkin, all episodes, as I said, which are now up on Netflix.
There's happy faces, cheering, singing.
Best days of our life. We've not even got tickets.
The whole country is united.
COVID had had people cooped up. They're ready to go wild. People drinking heavily, taking cocaine.
We're just there for a good time.
Just getting out of hand.
There was limited police presence.
It was just carnage.
And then it gets violent.
It's coming home. It's coming for... But is it though? Is it? Welcome to Wreckham, more like. It's the summer of 2021 and Gareth Southgate's Ingerland finally looked like they were bringing football home on their home soil of Wembley Stadium as they made it all the way to the final of the European Championship, setting up a blockbuster clash with Italia. However, the run-up to the match was marred by some of the worst fan behaviour we've seen in the 21st century. Well, at least some of the worst fan behaviour caught on camera, that is. This docuseries delves into all of that disorder, including interviews with those who were there and those who were responsible for trying to stop the mayhem. Will Trump be revealed as the instigator of this storming of football's capital? Probably not, but he may still claim it. That's the final, Attack on Wembley, which is now on Netflix. And yeah, not gonna lie, I'm all in. Chaos! Chaos!
I get a call from this Hollywood producer, and she starts explaining this incredible opportunity.
This is gonna make you a star.
6 days later, I'm on a flight to Indonesia.
It's a story that sounds like a Hollywood movie. Creative professionals lured to Indonesia on the promise of work from major Hollywood figures.
There were actors, photographers, makeup artists, literally hundreds and hundreds of victims.
Hollywood Con Queen on Apple TV Plus is a new docuseries from the creators of The Tiger King and The Fyre Festival and observes showbiz gig workers who were made victims of a shocking and terrible scam. They will be approached by a high-profile female executive asking them to come to Indonesia for an enormous opportunity in film or television. And yes, of course, that opportunity never existed and was the starting point of a potentially costly scam that leads us down a very, very dark and batshit road. This docuseries follows journalist Scott Johnson and private investigator Nicole Kotsianis as they hunt down the person behind the elaborate ruse. Absolutely crazy, crazy stuff. And again, you know me, I do love my true crime, crazy scam, mad scheme TV. So that is Hollywood Con Queen, which is now on Apple TV Plus.
I can't believe my little girl's getting married.
Here's the wedding itinerary for the week.
Looks like we won't get much time together.
You're part of the dance rehearsal. Don't you see the asterisk that says mother of the bride?
Now I'm an asterisk.
RJ! This is my Aunt Janice.
And you must be the mother of the... Lana?
Hello. I mean, hello.
Did someone please explain what's going on?
Once upon a time, your father... and Emma's mother dated in college.
Wait, what?
Director Mark Waters etched himself into cinematic royalty in the noughties when he made both Freaky Friday and Mean Girls. 2 decades later, and after, let's not talk about Vampire Academy, he's back on the rom-com beat with this new movie starring Brooke Shields as a mother surprised when her daughter, played by Moranz Cosgrove, returns home and announces she's getting married in Thailand. Things get even more awkward for Shields' character when she learns that her daughter's fiancé is the son of a man who broke her heart years ago. Oh, sure, Jesus, sign me up. Despite feeling like we've seen this plotline a bajillion times and it all looking somewhat meh and ho-hum, I'm going to give it to Brooke Shields. After what she did recently with the iconic A Castle for Christmas Netflix movie, I'm willing to risk it for a biscuit over a tall glass of Whispering Angel. Oh yes, feck it, let's do it. So that is Mother of the Bride, which is now on Netflix. In The Goat on Prime Video, comedian Daniel Tosh welcomes 14 US reality superstars into a hilarious, drama-filled new competition show where both the strong and the totally clueless can survive. Each week, bachelors, housewives, Food Network stars and amazing survivors of Sunset will face off and eliminate each other until one person is crowned reality television's greatest of all time. Not a lot is yet known about the format of the show, but hey, if reality TV and competitions are your jam, then this one is defo for you. That's The Goat, which is now on Prime Video. In Abbott Elementary Season 3 Part 1, which is now on Disney Plus, a group of dedicated, passionate teachers and a slightly tone-deaf principal find themselves thrown together in a Philadelphia public school where, despite the odds stacked against them, they are determined to help their students succeed in life. An absolute smash hit and winner of so many awards, this one is loved by a lot of folks out there. All the main cast members are back to unleash the madness, including Quinta Brunson, Tyler James Williams, Janelle James, and Cheryl Lee Ralph. That's Abbott Elementary Season 3 Part 1, which is now on Disney Plus. I'm not going to bore you again here, the next one. I've talked about it too many times already on here, but praise be, because Taskmaster seasons 7 to 13 are now available on Netflix, along with 1 to 6, which are already up there. And I urge you, plead, give it a bash. You will not be disappointed. 5 comedians attempting ridiculous tasks in an attempt to win a large golden bust of the Taskmaster himself, Greg Davies, along with his sidekick and task creator, Lil Alex Horn. It is pure comedy gold. That's Taskmaster seasons 7 to 13, which are now on Netflix. And a little wee adult animation cracker, Blood Zeus, returns for a second season to Netflix. Chronicling the illegitimate son of Zeus, a young man is tasked with saving heaven and earth despite the interference of a vengeful goddess and her monstrous forces. It's been a bit of a wait. The first series appeared in 2020 to widespread acclaim. Well, that wait is finally over because Blood of Zeus Season 2 is now on Netflix.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Let it be, let it be, woo! Let it be, let it be, oh yeah, there will be an answer, let it be. All right, shut up. Let It Be on Disney Plus is Peter Jackson doing what he feels he does best, and that's restoring Michael Lindsay-Hogg's long out-of-print 1970 Beatles documentary, utilising the same technology that helped Jackson create his 2021 miniseries, The Beatles Get Back. Can I just say, while I'm sure a lot of folks are excited and will be amazed by this, Peter, that's it. The restoring is done. Can we now focus on you making some more epic feature films, please? However, just a note, if you've actually been restoring the extended editions of Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, well, in that case, keep restoring, my man. Keep restoring. Anyway, for all you Beatleheads out there, that's Let It Be, which is now on Disney+. Moving into the non-English section, first up, if you are a fan of classic YA school tropes, then coming from Germany, Max den Hall, The World Between Us on Prime Video is just for you. Based on a best-selling German young adult novel, this is a modern love story between the classes, set at a prestigious private school. I can't tell you how hard it's been to get that word correct for the past minute. Where, yes, hot young things engage in sexy times and various other sketchy activities. Did I mention that ugly is really a word not associated with any of this cast? Listen, you know who you are. That's Max den Hall, The World Between Us, whose episodes are all up now on Prime Video. For fans of lavish lifestyle docs, Super Rich in Korea on Netflix does exactly what it says on the highly expensive tin and shows us the ultra luxurious lives of the world's wealthiest in the heart of Korea. This show is an obnoxious exploration of extravagance as it introduces to us those from around the world who have relocated to Korea. From Singaporean millionaires, the Arab world's Kardashians, Pakistani royalty and some Italian fashion icons, all heading there and bound by their love for Korean culture. So that's Super Rich in Korea, which is now on Netflix. Coming from Mexico, Guardian of the Monarchs on Netflix is an investigative documentary that follows the life and disappearance of renowned environmentalist and defender of the monarch butterfly sanctuary, Homero Gomez Gonzalez, and demonstrates how international trade interests, organized crime and corruption stood in his way and may have led to his vanishing. So that's The Guardian of the Monarchs, which is now on Netflix. And finally, in the non-English section this week, we have Cooking Up Murder, Uncovering the Story of Cesar Roman. This comes from Spain and is a docuseries that analyzes a murder case implicating a Spanish celebrity chef who built a famous career in the spotlight through a web of secrets and false identities. Weird and wacky stuff. That's Cooking Up a Storm, Uncovering the Story of Cesar Roman, which is now on Netflix.
Where did he come from?
I don't know, he sort of popped up at the right moment. And then he spoke about time travel.
Ruby,
you want to know my secret?
I have the whole universe at my fingertips.
And I'm all on my own. I'd love it if you came with me.
Who are you?
I'm the Doctor.
Doctor Who Season 14 returns to the BBC this Saturday night with a double episode extravaganza. Sex Education's Shudi Gatwa takes over as the 15th Doctor, and he'll be joined by new companion Ruby Sunday, played by Millie Gibson. And yes, people are buzzing. Buzzing out there. With Disney Plus on board as partners for worldwide distribution, this means the show will have a slightly bigger budget and, yes, much higher profile guest stars like this season's Jonathan Groff, Jinx Monsoon and Indira Varma. Again, for all those Whovians out there, it's almost time. Shudi Gatwa is going to kick ass and take names. That's Doctor Who Season 14 with its 15th Doctor, which starts a double episode on BBC One on Saturday the 11th from 6:20 p.m. Another one to flag for sci-fi heads. And when I say this is short, it's like so short. But The Simpsons do love a bit of Star Wars promo shorts, and May the 12th Be With You drops on Disney Plus from Friday. And you know what? Once you accept that it's going to be no more than 3 to 4 minutes long, then maybe you'll appreciate it for what it is. So that's The Simpsons May the 12th Be With You, which is now on Disney Plus.
Aaron?
Alice?
Thank God, can you hear me?
Are you okay?
Damn your nose.
Alice?
Alice has been on her own for more than 30 hours.
Why did she call you?
A couple of feds out of their natural habitat.
The Dry 2 is the sequel to Jane Harper's novel, and the previous movie, guess what it was called? Yes, The Dry. And it is now on Sky Cinema and Now TV. This is based on the Force of Nature book, which is also the second entry in the series following Agent Aaron Falk, played here by Eric Bana, and this one is set a year after the events of the previous book and movie. When a group of five women go hiking, only four return, and Detective Falk is called in to investigate what happened. Sketchy goings on all over the Australian outback. What's not to love? So that is Jane Harper's Force of Nature, aka The Dry 2, which is now on Sky Cinema and Now TV. And finally, at the end of the pod, like, on the telly.
Jack and me were given a free holiday in Colombia.
That's just fabric soft now.
You're sentenced to prison.
No! Lindy's all I got left. I'm going to ask her to get back with me.
You've been in prison. She's not going to want to have anything to do with you now.
Everyone deserves a second chance.
Come on!
We address teachers in the school as sir and miss.
Sorry, miss.
I know. Butchering accents wherever I go. Anyway, yes, Peter Foote's hilarious comedy The Young Offenders returns for its fourth season to the BBC on Friday the 10th at 9:30 p.m. So, depending on when you're listening, it's tonight probably. Sketchy goings on across Cork as those cheeky chappies Connor and Jock return for another heartwarming and quite funny season. If Trainspotting was set in Cork and was a half hour comedy, I feel it wouldn't be too far off this madness and humour. I've seen the first two episodes so far, and the focus is on Connor, played by the brilliant Alex Murphy, who just knows how to do that awkward, edgy, ridiculously lovable rogue. Throw in a wonderful supporting cast of some absolute lunatics, and what is not to be loved? So, highly, highly recommended. The chuckles will come left field, right field, the back of the field, the front. Anyway, that's The Young Offenders Season 4, which starts on the BBC One. The BBC One? What are you? Oh, yeah, anyway. From today or Friday, May 10th, depending on when you're listening to this, at 9:30 p.m. And there you go. That is your streaming, etc., etc. Oh, there's some pretty good stuff there. Pretty good stuff. Yes. Before we get to music, I want to talk about a book. We mentioned Sexy Times last week as I got roped into... Not there we go. He's off again. Getting roped into Idea of You. Well, I seem to be trapped in a Sexy Times universe, if it's such a place, or multiverse. And we're going to have a quick chat about Stony Batter's finest, Vicky Notaro, who has released her book, Reality Check. And yes... Yes, baby, the Bonkbuster is back. This is a book which delves behind the scenes of celebrity culture. Notaro, as a journalist and former editor of a glossy magazine, as well as being a reality TV obsessive with plenty of connections, there's no better person to pull back that sequence curtain on the madness of reality in this fictional tale. To say the Bonkbuster is back may have been a bit too simple for this, but yes, there are Sexy Times. However, this is a more fascinating study of the world of TV celebrity and online influencers through the eyes of an author who over the years has had to deal with the phenomenon up close. Featuring the Daniels family and Desi, the Irish mother from Kerry, who emigrates to the US and becomes a top-tier celebrity in her later years on the TV show Ladies of Los Angeles, or Lola. There's Vinny, her daughter, who is a huge online wellness influencer, but who has, shall we say, a somewhat sketchy husband. There's Ariel, the extremely young TikTok sensation who gives Bratty a bad name. And finally, there's Portia, who's our kind of lead in the book, the seemingly sane one in the bunch, who is a TV writer trying to catch a break but is happily dating Limerick lad Jason for over 7 years until, well, that too all kicks off. As I said, Sexy Times ahoy, but as someone who dabbles with reality celebrity culture through things like Selling Sunset, etc., it's the in-between storylines of paparazzi, brand crisis management, etc. that raise this above the level of, say, something of a similar ilk like Amanda Brunker's Champagne Kisses, which itself was a hit in its day, but definitely not as good. Jackie Collins would definitely be proud of this one, and as a fellow rosé drinker, may I raise a glass and say, if quality, reality TV trash and all its comings and goings are your jam, and as I said, if you're looking for some insider knowledge and a peek behind that sequence reality curtain, well, look no further than Reality Check by Vicky Notaro, which is now out in bookshops. And you know what? I was just thinking, it wouldn't surprise me if at some time in the future it was revealed that The Idea of You, August Moon and the Daniels family all operate in the same literary universe. Now that would blow my mind. Anyway, that's your book for the week. Pretty, pretty fun stuff, yes. Nice and breezy, as I said, a nice glass of rosé while reading away. Music-wise, oh yes. It's been a while, but they're back. We LSF is the new album from Brooklyn art punk rockers Lee Savvy Fav, and their first album in 14 years. Is sarcastic rock a thing? Well, I do believe these guys prove it is. Renowned for their live performances, they land in Whelans at the end of the month, so plenty of time and plenty of prep for that one. That's We LSF from Lee Savvy Fav, which is out now and ready for your ears. It's gonna make them bleed. It's gonna make them bleed. There you go, that's your cinema, your streaming, your books, and your music for the week. A fairly decent smorgasbord of intriguing content, if you do agree. Maybe you don't. Now, let's have a quick look at three things we noticed in pop culture this week. First up in the future James Bond slot, yes, it's Jack O'Connell news time. And I know, I'm clutching at straws and betting slips on that one, but I gotta believe, I love Jack. Anyway, a double piece of entertainment news from him, as firstly, it has been confirmed that he has signed up and will be joining the cast of 28 Years Later. Oh, Lord, Jack bashing some zombies, you had me at feckin' hello. It was also announced this week that he has been cast as the main villain in Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan's new project. What can I say? Joining the team who gave us Fruitvale Station, Black Panther and Creed? Holy crap, it's a win-win for him. The only thing we know about it is that it's a period drama. And as I said, yes, Jack is playing the villain. Oh, sketch. Anyways, it looks like 2025 is going to be the year of Jack. And I am here for that. Next up in Blade Runner news, what? There's more Blade Runner? Indeed there is, because it looks like Michelle Yeoh has been cast in the lead role for the new Prime Video series Blade Runner 2099, which is a follow-up, of course, to the 2017 movie Blade Runner 2049. Oh. Originally set to be filmed in Belfast, the pandemic killed that off. It will now be filmed in Prague. Shining Girls creator Silke Luisa is the writer and showrunner. Ridley Scott is also involved, and in further exciting news on this project is the news that Jonathan Van Tulleken, the man behind Shogun, is directing the first two episodes and also exec producing the series. Well, you again had me at feckin' yeah. And finally in Three Things, we have a bit of news for those Vin Diesel and Riddick fans out there. It's time to let your inner sci-fi nerd squee, as it has been confirmed that The Chronicles of Riddick Part 4, which will be called Riddick Furia, is to begin shooting in August. Diesel reprises his role as the anti-hero Richard B. Riddick, a dangerous escaped convict wanted by every bounty hunter in the galaxy. In this one, Riddick finally returns to his home world, a place he barely remembers and one he fears might be left in ruins. But there he finds, yes, other Furians fighting for their existence against a new monster threat. Oh, sweet Lord Jesus. I've always thought the aliens in this series at times remind me of the alien creatures from A Quiet Place. So hell, maybe we'll get a crossover if that's the ridiculous way they want to go. Anyways, nerds assemble. That's the new Riddick Furia, which begins shooting in August. There you go, three things, decent goss there, you gotta love it. And okay, that's our lot, I'm done, I'm out of here, place to go, people to see. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Oh, did you hear that now? The Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. And yes, I've watched the first two episodes of Bodkin already, and I can inform you now that it's a wee laugh. It's a wee cracker. Sure, all the stereotypes are there for you. But it's plenty dark. Anyway, shut up. I'm gone. Oh, she's me dear, me darling dear. She's my one and only dear. Okay, I do believe we're ready to go. Take 427. Well, hello. What? I've lost my notes. I know who you are. You're the post credits traveler, but I'd like to see what I'm talking about now. Welcome yet again to a disheveled and slightly stunned stroked Thunderdome. Yes. There was me, all set to tell you that it was way too sunny for a post-credit piece. I was too busy. I was off to burn my nose when suddenly we had some even hotter than outside breaking news. Oh my God. And it's news that proves that if you light a candle, say a few prayers, and moan on a podcast about Peter Jackson getting his finger out, then before you can even finish the pod, Middle-earth miracles can happen. Because it was just announced that the first of two new Lord of the Ring live-action movies will be released in 2026 and is currently coming in under the working title of Lord of the Rings: The Hunt for Gollum. And while not technically directed by Jackson himself, he will produce it. However, it will be directed by and star Gollum himself, Andy Serkis. And yes, I hear you there, slight danger, danger. He did direct the slightly atrocious Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. But then again, in fairness, he is Gollum. So we'll let him off the hook and keep believing. Yes, we will. We will believe. The other hope in this project comes from the fact that Fran Walsh and Philippa Boyens are set to write this screenplay. And they will also produce alongside Jackson. No plot has been revealed. All that was said is that it will feature new storylines yet to be told. In other words, they are making shit up and taking names and feck it, I'm here for it. So there you go, 2026. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is it time to crack open those extended edition DVDs? Whew. Well, while you decide, let's send you off into the sunny shire with this little beauty. Ciao.
must have the precious. They stole it from us. Sneaky little hobbitses. Wicked, tricksy, false. No, no, master. Yes, precious, false. They will cheat you, hurt you, lie.